make sure that Humphrey lost the election and that Nixon could win. And half of the 58,000 dead and half of the wounded fell after the United States already knew that it had to leave Vietnam. I can tell you the American administration already knows it has lost the war in Iraq, and that the longer that it stays, the deeper it will sink, and the more blood will be added to that swamp of hatred that I've been talking about all night. You know, the United States lost all those men and killed all those Vietnamese in the interests of a word which has now crept back into the vocabulary. It's a dread word. I hate to hear it. The word is credibility. I hear these neocons saying, we can't leave Iraq because it will destroy our credibility. That's the word that sent tens of thousands of Americans to their grave in Vietnam. America will have to leave Iraq sooner or later. It's much, much better for everybody if it's sooner rather than later. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you. That was George Galloway on Roots of Terrorism. He spoke in Chicago on September 19th, 2005. George Galloway is a member of the British Parliament. He's the author of Mr. Galloway Goes to Washington. This program is produced by Alternative Radio, an award-winning weekly series based in Boulder, Colorado. Since its inception in 1986, AR is independent. Our sole source of support comes directly from listeners just like you. AR features such voices as Johann Galtung, Stephen Bezruchka, Arundhati Roy, Bill Moyers, Howard Zinn, and Naomi Klein. To access our vast archive, go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website, alternativeradio.org. To place a credit card order for the program you just heard, George Galloway on Roots of Terrorism, call us toll-free at 1-800-444-1977. Again, that's 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. You can also send in your check. CDs and cassettes are $15 plus a dollar for postage. Printed transcripts are $9 even. Please specify the format you'd like. Our address, AR, P.O. Box 551, Boulder, Colorado, 80306. Series theme music is performed by the Kronos Quartet from Pieces of Africa. Thanks to Martin Folker for technical assistance. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
Every Friday night at 8 p.m., lay your burden down and get on board the gospel train. Music, interviews, live guests, local performance information, all aboard the gospel train, Fridays at 8 p.m.
Listen to Sound Resistance on CFRO, Vancouver's co-op radio at 102.7 FM. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to 102.7 CFRO Co-op Radio. I am your host, Kelly Gallagher. Joey is away today. Sending a love out to him on the other side of the country. And today we have with us David Maidman.
Hi, Kelly.
He's
how are you doing?
He's co-hosting with us today. And a silent guest, Silent Sam.
That's not the vodka.
No. And we're going to just talk about stuff. Whatever we feel like talking about. It's a free flow show, and we're going to talk a bit about Buy Nothing Day because it's coming up. So, you know, activism fun and just to what's going on. And I just want to give a little tribute to all people out there who are doing their thing, trying to make changes in a positive way. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts, David, while I put a CD on?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Buy Nothing Day. I don't know about you, Kelly, but I go through my neighborhood and I go down the back alleys and that, and you look around the dumpsters and in the alleys and that, and you know, why do you have to shop at Walmart? I mean, it's there for the pickings kind of thing. And you know, it just never ceases to amaze me when you think about the amount, you know, the amount of labor that people had to do in order to earn the money to buy, you know, say these couches or chairs or whatever, televisions. I mean, I've seen televisions in the garbage and that, and you know, let alone the materials that went into to producing these goods, and then they just get trashed. I mean, it's nuts.
So we want to preserve things. It's a good note. We just came from Value Village on our way here.
Good for you, Kelly.
Things are being recycled.
Well, I guess I give away my age. I have to admit, I'm an old fart. I can remember the, you know, I grew up in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, back in those days, it was really funny. The idea was you bought something that lasted. And if anybody wants to see a perfect example of this, go look at the old Electroluxes vacuum cleaners that were built back in the 50s and early 60s that, you know, are still keep on ticking. I mean, I had one. I bought it. I bought secondhand. Back in 1991, and you know, it lasted. I finally traded it in on another model just last year. So that's like I had it for 14 years, and who knows how long the person had it before that.
Well, that's good. I need a new vacuum. All I have is a broken vacuum, and I just use the little tube. I only have a tube.
Well, like I would suggest it.
But
like,
it works.
No, get you know.
I'm not going to buy a new one right now.
No, go get. I'm not talking about a new one.
No.
Just a refurbished Electrolux. Like, here's a plug for Electrolux.
I heard good things about them, but let's not advertise for anyone on especially when we're talking about Buy Nothing Day. And I do like the idea of recycling and using new things. And just on the way here, I was talking about recycling, how we're actually recycling kind of. If we have to look at this in a good way, we're a little like we're digging up the earth and overturning it. I'm trying to see the positive in everything, just like you talking about finding the beautiful treasures out in the alleyways. It's true. There's good stuff out there. I'm in my own world today. As usual.
There you go. Like I said, you know, next time you want to take a trip to Walmart, take a trip down in your neighborhood, and who knows, maybe you'll find what you're looking for and you won't have to pay anything for it.
It's true. You know, and I was just talking about Walmart. I usually am not talking about these things, but I was thinking about Walmart, and my friend whose property actually got sold so a Walmart development could be built. It's sad. It was on the saddest day of his life, I guess, he heard this news that it wasn't his alone. But anyhow, it was a weird sort of thing that Walmart came and sort of took over the land of this person who really wants to stop the mass production. But we have to not be mass productive. So I think, can I play a song?
Sure.
To go along with that?
Do you know what you're fighting for?
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips?
Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet?
Do you know what you're fighting for?
We're taking y'all all the way underground. Yeah. We sing a plane with y'all. This is real hardcore hip hop.
Blocks of summer shine, lifetimes go by in a flash, in a search for love, in a search for cash. Everybody wanna be some fat tycoon. Everybody wanna be on a tropic honeymoon. Nobody wanna sing a little bit out of tune or be the backbone of a rebel platoon. It's too soon to step out of line. You might get laughed at, you might get fined, but you pass the buck or pass the baton. But you can't pass the police or the Pentagon, the IRS or the upper echelon. I think it's time to make a move on the contradiction. Bomb, bomb. Rock the nation, take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come. Give the corporations a complication. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation, take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come. Give the corporations a complication. In the dawning of our time, I say it one more time to emphasize the meaning of my rhyme. Rise above all the dirt and grime. At the right spikes, at the right time. Fuck the Constitution. Are we part of the solution? Or are we part of the pollution? Sitting by and wondering why things ain't the way we like to find them to be. To be for you and for me. The people over there and the ones in between. Check our habitation. Are we a peace-loving nation? Peace-loving nation. Oh, the government say that killing's a sin. Unless you kill a murderer with a lethal syringe. So I ask again. Are we peace-lovers then? Lovers then. Some of them slang guns when they 6 years old. Some of them end up in some six foot hole. This whole damn place seems to lost control. So I raise my voice before I lose my soul. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come. Give the corporations a complication. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come. Give the corporations a complication.
Spinning on a record, y'all try to confiscate, take what I communicate with. It's ancient, gift to the lips, steady, inactivating, passing vocal violations to the blind plus the seeing. Human doesn't mean just being, becoming. Don't believe it, just be life it. Belongings and beloved, rehearse it or recite it while shining. Drop your guns, move your tongues, battle motivation. No times lyrics come, sometimes fun, others run. Their mouth blur away, my mind's gold beaming like an early sun.
Bomb, bomb, rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb. The truth shall come, give the corporations a complication. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come, give the corporations a complication. You're
we're taking y'all all the way underground.
Dead air.
Hello, we're back. Back on Sound Resistance 102.7 CFRO Co-op Radio. And that was a song called Starbucks. And then after that, Rock the Nation, Michael Herbert and Michael Ferranti. Okay. So, and then on the way in here today, they're putting out some beautiful plants out on the street.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. Beautify the downtown east side, you know.
I think it needs it.
Well, in terms of what I think it needs, I think, you know, instead of having a society where everybody sort of has to fit themselves into the market economy, why don't they have a society that actually operates for people? And, you know, we're talking about stuff in alleys and recycling and that. And I'd like to put a shout out to the unsung heroes in the Greater Vancouver Regional District. And that's the guys that are going around the alleys and, you know, going through the garbage and picking out stuff that is useful and recycling it. I mean, you know, some people talk about them derogatorily as dumpster divers, but I like to think of them as recyclers that are actually, you know, it's a fairly environmentally friendly green job. And, you know, why can't we put more into that program and, you know, maybe create actual work out of it where people can make a living and support themselves.
I like the idea of carbon neutral. I think I'm going to try I might take it on as a personal project to become carbon neutral as an individual. It probably shouldn't be that big ordeal, but it really probably is. That might be a goal.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, you know, that's something people have to start looking at, I think, is exactly what is your ecological footprint? Like, how much space are you taking up on the planet? And maybe what we should do, instead of celebrating the people that have the biggest ecological footprints and take up the biggest amounts of space, and, you know, this is out to you, Bill Gates, but, you know, how about the people that take out the least amount of space and start, you know, honoring them?
Well, yeah, I like to honor people that take the least amount of space.
You know, and in that case, like I said.
But I honor everybody. I don't, well, personally, this is where I'm trying to come from, is like, no matter what somebody's doing, I honor them as a being. And then whatever that have attachments they have, you know, around themselves or whatever form, I'm trying to not make a judgment on that either way anymore, of being good or bad, even if it's excessive. Because, but not to support it, like, you know, but I'm trying to let go of my judgments around even those lifestyles. And I have to look at where they're coming from. I think there's obviously some sort of, you know, there's something going on psychologically, a whole symptom in society that we have to come around.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, and you're probably right. And I respect you for what you're doing, because in a way, what you're doing, you're giving up a lot of anger and a lot of frustration, and probably having a lot happier life because of that. And, you know, good for
you,
Kelly.
That's true.
You know,
you do that too. You see the good in things. We're all.
When I got into politics, I sort of got into politics on, you know, the old class struggle, class basis, and it's kind of hard to let go of that, even though nowadays a lot of that doesn't really apply anymore in some ways, and I think what we have to sort of look for, and I think you're right, is sort of a change of consciousness, you know, revolution not being one group of people overthrowing another group of people and then imposing their will, but rather, you know, people coming to a place of consciousness, where we're trying to connect and live more in harmony, you know, with the world, and trying to make a society that reflects that, I think.
And I think that's happening, because, well, I'm, and I know that the Earth was at one point when it was untouched by our imprint, and it still is a beautiful paradise, but we're swirling everything around. But, and so there is some people have this vision of going back to a place, but yet we are moving forward. This is all new for us, right? This is new. This isn't, as far as we know, maybe other civilizations have come and gone, like, you know, sand, like a sandcastle on the beach, you know? Things are always changing.
Oh, we're a constant state of evolution, yeah.
But I think we're at a point that's just new for us, so it's a challenge for us all together. We have to find a way to work together and still be, our individuality has to still be nurtured and valued, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and to do it in a way that it does respect our whole planet and preserve it, because now there is a lot of, without trying to be negative, there's a lot of mass destruction going on right now, but I don't think it's because we're bad people. I think it's because it's new circumstances and there's a lot of ignorance that we need to come out of. Good thing my microphone's hardly working.
well, like you're saying, I mean, it's. I think mass changes of consciousness can happen, and it can happen rather rapidly for unknown reasons. I mean, I lived through one. I go back through my old high school yearbooks, and I look at myself in grade 9, and everybody going to the senior prom in their tuxes and their ball gowns. And then by grade 12, everybody, hey, man, with their long hair, and you can tell they're all kind of stoned out of their heads. So, you know, I lived through a mass change of consciousness, and right. I'm sure I'm going to live through another mass change of consciousness, too.
Well, and it's ongoing. We have to evolve collective consciousness, too. That's once we become aware of the collective consciousness, that our actions here are affecting people all over the place, even the people we don't think we're connected to, these people out on the streets here that a lot of people don't want to see what's going on, we're still connected to them.
Well, and not just people, Kelly. I mean, if you read James Lovelock's book Gaia, I mean, you know, the whole planet is one unitary consciousness.
So we could celebrate it and be positive, and that will be an attractive force for other people to want to do the same thing. And that's why today I wanted to celebrate people that are doing different forms of activism. Buy Nothing Day, it sort of creates an opposition, but I don't want to create opposition. I want to just
I think it goes along with personal change. And I mean, you know, like you like to quote Gandhi, be the change
I have used that quote a couple of times, but
yeah, and it's a good quote. And I mean, you know, Buy Nothing Day, to me, it's I don't know, it's it's people taking a positive step and changing their own lives, you know.
Right. Okay, well, on that note, I'd like to just stop for a minute, if you don't mind, David. And I haven't heard this story, but it's called Satan and Sprout. It's on this Jane Goodall CD, Jane Goodall, Dana Lyons, two people that do a lot for the environment and stuff and celebrating changes in a good way. So I haven't heard this story, but it's called Satan and Sprout. I think we should listen to it. Are you into it?
I'm into it.
It's a surprise for us all. And hear that background music? That's gets into some meditative trance.
Large bunch of ripe red fruit. There's a younger male feeding there already, but that's okay because Satan is dominant to him. So he approaches and he makes a arm threat gesture. The young male screams and backs away and Satan begins to feed. But what Satan didn't realize is that young male's older brother is feeding higher up in the tree. And hearing his kid brother scream, he comes swinging down, and now the two brothers start attacking Satan, and Satan screams. To my amazement, a very ancient female, who was peacefully feeding way up in the canopy, starts swinging down, and she hurls her frail self onto these three battling males, each of whom weighs at least twice as much as she. And with her puny little fist, she begins hitting at the two brothers, who I think are so surprised that they mildly threaten her, and Satan gets away. That was Satan's ancient mother, Sprout, probably at least 50 years old, hair thin, teeth worn down to the gums, but still running to the defense of her great big bully son. This is the story of Satan and Sprout.
Okay, we heard it once. I know that's enough. interesting. So, David, you thought that was interesting that that story was about violent confrontation.
Well, Satan gets beaten up by the brothers. So.
Well, it could be a look at it in a good way. We're defeating the darkness.
Well, but then you know, if
no, not violently.
If you look at the Tao, I mean, you know, it's all in balance. I mean,
right.
You know,
don't want to make a judgment
of
darkness.
I don't buy into, you know, the battle between good and evil. You know, because eventually, you know, in the nature of doing good, you do evil. And
right. And then you're creating an opposition.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Same.
I mean, you need a dynamic balance.
And that's why I don't judge anything as being good or bad anymore. I'm trying to just celebrate the good, because in doing that, then I'm helping to create more of an energy around goodness. You know, and not seeing things as bad, just more as symptoms of different things.
Sick people. I mean, you know, they're not so much bad,
no,
bad
no
or evil
bad.
People.
No.
I mean, you know, they're different. No,
right. And there's people that really do act out in sickness and unconsciousness, and it causes harm and suffering for sure. But for me to think of things as bad or really negative, it's really draining on myself.
All right.
I'm trying to stay positive.
That's good for you, Kelly. And, you know, you're doing a good job of it, too.
I'm screwed up, though, sometimes. Like everybody is.
That's right. And so but unlike everybody, Kelly, you're actually willing to admit it.
Yeah. Thanks. It's true. Maybe that's why.
You know, I mean, you know, a lot of people are screwed up, but they think they're perfectly healthy and happy, and you know, they're screwed up.
Well, there's just no denying it. My actions, it's reflected. Plus, our world is reflected by our thought. Our thought creates our world. So, you know, there is unconsciousness happening out there. Like, okay, so I wanted to talk about those flowers out there that are really nice, and it's a nice way to brighten up this area. And then a woman came up walking past as we were coming in here, and she's like, oh, look at those. She was really upset. She was really complaining about them, that they weren't right. They weren't the right size, or something about them was not right about these plants. And she's obviously, she's probably addicted on drugs, and she's got some illness or, you know, mental health issues. But it's reflected that she can't see the good in that because she doesn't feel it in herself. So we have to find a way to nurture that in people and see the good in them so it can be nurtured. Because everything that comes out is a reflection of how we feel about ourselves. If we feel really good, you know, then it's reflected in the things we see, and then it grows into the same.
I actually worked with a guy who spent some time down here on the downtown east side addicted to heroin. And he had a really interesting quote he said to me one time. He said, you know, when you look at those people and you look at what they're doing to themselves, think how much pain they must mm-hmm. be trying to deal with and kill with the drugs.
That's all I can think about when I see them.
And that's it. And you know, like the biggest problem is like my solution to the drug problem would be A, legalize all drugs, and then you don't have a war on drugs. You don't have criminals making a lot of money off drugs. You know, people that want to use drugs, regulate them so they're using the drugs in a regulated, you know, safe manner, and then start dealing with the root causes of their addictions and start treating addiction not as a crime, but as a health matter. And you know, maybe taking some of the money that we now spend on the police in order to put people in jail and incarcerate them and punish them, and put that money into the healthcare system to heal them. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just a weirdo, I don't know.
No, and there's a lot, but another thing is there's a lot of people out there I know that are like doing a lot to make positive changes everywhere. So I have a lot of hope, because there's people pretty dedicated to make, and just for no other reason than they want better world for everybody. It's really a lot of selflessness that I'm seeing out there. It's very encouraging. It inspires me to continue on instead of just, but I do it myself right now. I'm more pulling back from being active, but the most thing I can do is change my own life, you know, is myself within, and making my son today, he's laughing at me. He's like, buy nothing day. Hey, you need stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, are you my child? Did I give birth to you? No.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, like it's funny that way. It almost seems like, you know, each generation, you know, rebels against the values of the previous generation or something.
And well, he's not like that. He's great. He's really, really non-materialistic. But he's like, he's thinking, well, if you need to go to the store and get toilet paper, you got to go to the store and get it. You know, you're not going to not go because it's buy nothing
always
day.
Leaves.
I'm like, you know, it's the question of buy nothing day is to just ask people to rethink their lifestyle and to make note of how dependent they are on purchasing and how often we do it. We're not really consciously aware of how often we're making our human interactions are mainly based around transactions. If we could stop them being around transactions and have them be more human interactions, I think there'd be more
culture,
community, better feelings, you know, knowing we're all just dealing and going through and learning, and there'd be more support, more.
Exactly. Instead of looking at human beings as just being a source of, you know, producers of goods and consumers of goods, you know, looking at human beings as being human beings. I mean, you know, one of the things that's always being said, well, this is what people want. Well, you know, wait a minute. This is what they're, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars are being spent on advertising in order to convince people this is what they want. So, you know,
people got to make money. But I like the new carbon neutral idea. And I had this woman talking on the show the other day, and I was like, well, ideally, probably we wouldn't have mass production of anything in such a way. And she said, well, it would take something huge for that to happen. But you know, we have to do it individually. We have to say, this is the lifestyle that's not going to produce a lot. But now the thing is, I'm doing a series right now in my art, and I want to produce cards. I'm producing, but I definitely want it to be, I want it to be all recycled, but I'm still creating a demand. Is it okay if I do it carbon neutral? Is it okay if I do it all recycled? What's the okay? Who says who can make what?
There you go.
It's a hard thing. The other end of it is to, because we are creative in our very nature, because look at the whole universe is creative. It's created incredibly beautiful things all around us. Look at the universe, look at the stars and the plants. It's like all this awesome creative force coming out. It's created us. And then we just have this desire to be creative beings, but to what cost?
Well, there you go. And but the
what
other
the
side,
bleep?
But I the other know. other side of creation is destruction. I mean, you know,
right?
Don't forget where we're sitting right now. 10,000 years ago, which isn't
it's
really
a giant tree and a dinosaur.
No. 10,000 years ago, there was a mile of ice.
Oh,
sitting
right here.
Sure.
10,000 years.
Sure.
Ago, that was it. Eh?
Yeah.
That wasn't that long ago. That's a flash.
No, that's a flash. That's right.
A dash of light.
Remember the idea behind where the Bering Strait was and was connected, and how they were supposed to have come down through this chasm through the massive glaciers. So
the Earth is a constantly changing ball herself. She's a living force. She changes.
Exactly.
Like we are her. She is us. Okay. So, can I play a song for, and then I'll invite anybody to maybe call in. Should we?
That's a great idea.
The number on 102.7 CFRO Co-op Radio.
That's a good idea.
I'm going to play a song for everyone. This is Loving Kindness Meditation.
attention. Sit in any relaxed posture, hands folded in lap with eyes closed.
Like oneself, all beings seek for happiness, patiently then cultivate love for beings all. Ever happy may I be, may I from dukkha e'er be free, with friends and neutral ones also, may my foes be happy too. Within the boundaries of this town, may beings ever happy be. Likewise those from foreign lands, and those from other galaxies. From all around the galaxies, all creatures and all breathing things, all persons and all entities, be happy in their destinies. Likewise women, men as well, the noble ones, the unawake, humans, gods, unhappy ones, who in the ten directions dwell, having seen that like oneself.
Okay, so David said we're going to get kicked out of the studio. Happened,
No, I didn't say that, but it's always a possibility.
Outside.
There you go. People don't like what you're doing. So you said you're going to play some Johnny Cash for Joey, didn't you?
I don't know what one.
Well, it's all good. Johnny Cash is all good.
What song?
What do you've got there?
I don't know. No, is there something that we were going to talk about?
Well, we have been sort of on a theme with Buy Nothing Day and recycling and carbon neutral and having...
I was going to give out the number.
Oh, 604-684-7561.
Thank you.
There you go.
604-685-7561. If you would like to be on air with us, call right now. Carbon neutral, David. Talk about that for a second.
Well, I guess the concept of... Well, people don't realize that... Reading James Lovelock's book, Gaia, is sort of... I recommend it to anybody. He wrote it actually way back in 1979. And at the time he was... They were sending the first probes to Mars, and they were trying to devise these scientific experiments in order to test for life. And I guess one of the big differences, say, between the Earth and Mars and Venus is that the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmospheres in Mars and Venus is very, very high, which he posits makes them dead planets, whereas the CO2 levels in the Earth's atmosphere aren't as high, and that's what allows life to flourish. So I sort of extrapolate on that. If we keep increasing CO2 in the atmosphere, and, you know, scientists are now telling us that it's at its highest levels in, like, you know, millions of years, that you know, we're going to run into a lot of problems. So, you know, the whole idea of reducing CO2 emissions, I mean, it's to me, it's a no-brainer. And I mean, there's many ways you can do it. I mean, first of all, don't drive.
Well, now it's becoming less profitable now. So, right? Less profitable.
Well, that's it. And you know, you can, you know, governments can do that through, you know, through carbon taxes, whereas in fact one of the things governments actually do is subsidize the oil and gas companies.
So were you following the election the other day?
Not really, because I don't think it's really going to change anything.
No?
No, I mean, you know, the Democrats all voted for the war on Iraq. I mean, you know, most of the pro or anti-war Democratic candidates, you know, were not supported or, you know, defeated in the primary. So, no, I don't think anybody expects the Democrats to save the world. I mean, forget it, because, I mean, they're supported by the same people that support the Republicans. It's, you know, it's kind of a sham democracy we have.
Well, then let's just only acknowledge the goodness.
Well, like I said, I mean, like they say about democracy, it's not a perfect system.
We're creating it. We're creating alternatives. That's all we can do, right?
And to create a really democratic society, what you have to do is go out and get control of your own life.
Exactly. The change first within.
There you go.
Right?
So you're going to play a song?
Well, I'm not playing Johnny Cash. I changed my mind.
There you go.
Your prerogative.
That's my prerogative. So I was thinking I was going to maybe just play TV God.
There you go. Sounds good to me.
After I was born, I went home to watch my TV. Everyone was nice and the smiles were so sparkly. I watched what made them happy and I watched what made them cry. I learned about toys and candy my mommy should buy. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see all around the world every night and day on my TV. Teaches how to love, teaches what is real, tells what life is of, tells me how to feel. All I need to know I can find and see on my TV. Soon I was a teenager and I knew just how to dress. I learned to use deodorant so I would always smell my best. I got myself a part-time job to buy the things I needed to have. And the payments on my supercharged Camaro really aren't so bad. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see all around the world every night and day on my TV. Teaches how to love, teaches what is real, tells what life is of, tells me how to feel. All I need to know I can find and see on my TV.
Everybody be careful, everybody be very careful, keep watching your TV. There are people who are laughing with a wink or a nod. There are people who are questioning our great TV God. Everybody be careful, everybody be. Be very careful, stay tuned to your TV. There are ponies who are talking, there are wasters who read. There are people here who do not even own a TV. Everybody be careful. Oh, everybody be careful. Oh, everybody be careful.
Everything I know about my country I learned on TV. The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car and my gun. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see all around the world every night and day on my TV. Teaches how to love, teaches what is real, tells what life is of, tells me how to feel. All I need to know I can find and see on my TV.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself. I would find a way.
Okay, so we got some Johnny Cash in there. Hurt. And TV God by Dana Lyons. That was the first song I learned how to play on my guitar, was Hurt. I tell that story because...
Very beautiful song.
It is a beautiful song.
And what I like about it is, you know, like he's saying, you know, enjoy the moment because we're only here for a short time. And, you know, don't become so attached to things.
We're a little light streaking across the... Bring light to the journey.
Well, actually, a young friend of mine said something to me one time that makes perfect sense. I mean, if you believe in the Big Bang Theory, and if you believe in evolution, then at one time we were all stardust.
Right. I don't have any doubt of that. But that's our physical structure, right? And then behind mm-hmm. that, there's maybe a spirit or a consciousness. I don't think maybe. I think absolutely.
Well, of course
that there's a consciousness behind that that evolves out of this form, the stardust. There's something consciously creating out of that. We're in unconsciousness. We're not even realizing how creative we are. And I don't like really a lot of New Ageism, but, you know, there's all of this sort of grow into yourself and manifest your dreams. I believe in that for sure, absolutely. But,
Well, the thing is, too, I mean, I think one problem is that, you know, we take a very limited view of time. I mean, you know, exactly. You know, instead of looking at time in terms of eons and billions of years and you know, hundreds of years and thousands of years and all that. We try to put everything into the second and the microsecond and the nanosecond. And
well, that's time is just our way of measuring our spot in a giant map of space, right? Mass in space. It's saying this location to this location is this amount of time. But even that dissolves because the past, future, it's always changing, right? It's mm-hmm. always continually in motion. If it wasn't in motion.
And for people that think that Kelly's just babbling, read Einstein.
Oh, thanks.
No, that's exactly funny. What he was talking about. I mean, actually, and it's true. Look at quantum mechanics and all this stuff. I mean, it's a fairly young field of science, and quantum physics is, you know, physics is sort of the master of all the sciences. It's a science right. from which everything flows. And you know, when they started getting into quantum physics, I mean, it just freaked them out, because all of a sudden the whole sort of Cartesian view of science, it falls disappeared.
Apart,
it
right?
falls apart. Exactly.
When you look at actual matter, it does fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually literally, when you try and locate, when you break apart, where do you end and begin? Because your atoms are always, even at the lowest level, the quantum level,
yeah.
They're popping in and out of existence. And as soon as you locate it, you change its location anyhow.
And this is all laid out. There's a good book for anybody that's interested in this. It's by Fritjof Capra, and it's called The Tao of Physics.
That's a great book. I read
and,
that one.
What he talks about in the book is how the language that physicists use to talk about quantum mechanics is the same kind of language that Eastern Eastern religions use to talk about man's existence within the universe. And, you know, it's interesting, like, the thing that got me was when they went inside the atom, and like you were talking about, electrons exist, you know, only as, they exist as waves, and they also exist as points, so...
Wave particle at the same time, but
exactly.
I think that's just based on where you're observing from.
Exactly, and that's what they're saying.
And light appears as a result of the friction of two forces, that's how light appears, mm-hmm. you know, and then sound appears as a... sort of a disruption of the sound wave plane, you know, there's a mm-hmm. disruption in it. So
yeah, exactly.
Just energy, just, you know, contact energy, just swirling and changing and moving.
And within an atom itself, most of the space is empty. I mean, you know.
Right. So if you had a centimeter was the orbit, or centimeter was the nucleus or something, the whole field, the outer electron would be like 3 football fields away.
Yeah, yeah, just
that's
incredible.
One little tiny atom.
Yeah.
One little.
And we're all made up of atoms.
Right. And then, well, it's kind of fun.
Well, and that's why the whole Cartesian view of science kind of broke down, was that it's all based on looking at the universe and looking at everything as sort of a machine that, you know, they thought that eventually you would get to the basic building blocks of matter, and then they got into the atom, and then they split the atom, and inside the atom they found nothing, along with creating an incredible atomic force that
there's
we're still
lots
dealing
of stuff
with.
In the atom.
Yeah. Well, there's neutrons and...
The word atom is a misnomer, because it actually in Greek meant indivisible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is divisible, because then it breaks down into electrons and protons, and the mm-hmm. protons break down into quarks, and then quarks like gluons and subatomic particles and stuff.
There you go.
Okay, I think we need a chant.
Om.
I'm going to play it just for a minute. Okay, that was pretty weird. Did you hear that?
that was Johnny Cash chanting.
That was chanting with Johnny Cash.
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers.
That's kind of trippy. Okay. I'm going to turn that up every once in a while. Just insert some sound into sound resistance. So sound is the resistance of forces.
There you go.
On 102.7 CFRO Co-op Radio, the People's Station.
And if you haven't got your membership, get your membership. We rely on our members. We rely on you. This is the People's Radio Station here. No corporate dollars in Co-op Radio.
So, but I want to go back to talking about, and so we do that, we're creating a positive alternative to corporate media.
Well,
by supporting Co-op Radio. We're creating, this is a positive alternative. It's been, what, how many years? 30 years.
Over 30 years,
yeah. Another 30 years, just had its 30th anniversary. So we're continually creating our environment with our thoughts. So that's why it's good to think positive and see the alternative. And then even when those conditions are a little bit beyond our control, if we have control of our own selves, our own emotions, our own centers, then things just move through us, and we can stay centered. It's really hard to come to that point, though.
And another thing, too, that we should mention about co-op for people out there is that it's participatory media, too, is that, you know, you not only can become a member, but you can come down and actually get on the airwaves and you know, have your say.
Right.
Be the media.
Mrityorma amritam gamaya
Okay, so we're back, David.
That was very.
That, playing
that was very. That was a very nice chant. What's the name of that chant, Kelly?
It's called Asota Ma.
And
Asota Ma. Okay, so what it means is lead me. It's Sanskrit,
mm-hmm.
and it's. I think that Ravi Shankar made the CD based on the Upanishads, and this one is about lead me from the unreal to the real, the darkness to the light, ignorant from lead me from ignorance to knowledge, from death to immortality. May there be peace, peace, and perfect peace.
And I believe the Upanishads is one of the oldest written works in human history, isn't it?
I just found a copy in the Salvation Army last month. It's awesome.
There you go.
It's beautiful. It was there for me. It was like $2.99 in the Salvation Army. I found a treasure in the Salvation Army for $2.99. There's some questionable... No, it's all beautiful, but there's a couple parts in there that I read, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's the old scare religion. There's hardly any of that in there at all. You know, a couple little quirky things... But basically, it's a really beautiful piece of literature, very personally empowering. I haven't got too much into it, but it's a nice. You can see it looks like Christianity and Buddhism kind of stemmed out of it for two different branches.
Well, Buddhism did come out of Hinduism, and there is some speculation that the lost years were. Jesus kind of drops out of the New Testament that he went east and studied with the Buddha.
He was in India meditating.
Yes. And if you look at how Christianity relates to Judaism, it's kind of similar to the way that Buddhism relates to Hinduism. So
they're all similar, all the religions. So we call it a name, and then we go, "This is my name, and that's your name." So you're not right because mine is called this, and if it's called this, you know, we can't do that anymore. We have to break down all the names and barriers, and oh, you're this race, or you're that country, or you know, you're this government, or that planet.
Well, I think what it is too, it's a matter of honoring people and realizing that, you know, we all strive. I think we're all striving for the same thing. We're just going about it in sort of different ways. I mean,
right. So, like, seriously, think of these advanced technologies, like our show. Like, think of Star Trek. Would you date somebody from another planet? Talking about crossing over racial borders, could you date someone from another planet?
There you go.
I don't know. Have you ever thought of that?
Well, one thing I was thinking about the other day, I was sort of walking through the park, and I guess I was listening to about the aquarium expansion.
Oh.
And what got me was, you know, here we keep these creatures in these sort of zoos and cages. Now, what would happen if some alien species came down and did that to us? How would we feel
right.
about it?
Because definitely those creatures are sentient beings. There's no doubt about it at all. You can't, maybe they accept their existence and they're not too upset about it. Hopefully. I pray that they're feeling peace and happy. And I think that there is some sort of a purpose to educate people in those centers. They do have a very useful purpose.
Well, come on. I mean, the Vancouver Aquarium, I think it's kind of big business.
I can't support any sort of, sorry, you're right, but I don't want to, I don't want to put the aquarium down.
Well, like I said, all I can say to the people that run the Vancouver Aquarium, why don't you go put yourself in a cage so people can come watch at you? You know?
David's so great.
Well, why not?
Well, because the point is, there's that story about all of these turtles. It might have been starfish. Have you ever heard the story about the turtles or the starfish on the beach? And then you could have put anybody into this story. So put yourself in there as a child. So there's this child or somebody on the beach who's rushing out to, like, toss one of these creatures back into the ocean so they'll be okay. And someone else says, like, why even bother? Why even try? Why waste your time? It won't matter. And then whoever's throwing them back in says, well, it matters to that one.
That's right.
It does matter to the one.
Sure. And you know, like
I'm
said,
not a good storyteller.
You know, well, no, it is a very good story, and that's the thing that people have to start doing. That, you know, start putting yourself in the shoes or the position of that other creature,
the compassionate eye.
Exactly. Next time you see somebody huddled in a doorway sleeping, you know, think to yourself, maybe that could be you. Maybe you could have an injury that keeps you from working, and maybe you can fall through the cracks on welfare, and who knows, you're going to end up sleeping in that doorway. So I look at it this way: if we take care of the people that, you know, are the margins of society, then we're going to be taking care of ourselves, and that's the kind of society that I would like to work towards achieving.
Right. And for myself, though, outside of all my anger, first I had to come to a place where I actually liked myself. And I've been blessed to have very compassionate parents who've helped me generate a lot of compassion for people. So I've never really had to struggle to have a lot of compassion for people. But some people are angry at people, like, you know, but it's just not being aware of their circumstances. I've been able to empathize, I think, is what I'm trying to say,
mm-hmm.
and sort of have a compassion. But a lot of people have to really...
Well, I think what it is, they're not angry at that person in the doorway. They're angry at themselves.
Thank you for doing that. That's exactly what I was trying to say. Like, you have to have it for yourself, first of all. So even though I could have compassion for other people, I didn't have a lot of it for myself. And that mm-hmm. reflects outwards too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Into why we have that, I don't know.
You know,
why do we have that for ourselves? Why do we have self-contempt? Do you know the yet?
Oh, yeah, because you know, it's advertising. I mean, the idea behind the message is to, you know, create these feelings of inadequacy in yourself, like, oh,
that's part of it, you know.
I
guess, yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't look perfect like she does in the commercials, so I have to go out and spend the money to buy this crap so I can look like that. And, you know, because I don't look like that, I'm a loser. Because I don't drive this kind of car, I'm a loser. And it's all trying to make people feel bad about
maybe
themselves.
In each moment we could say, I am my ideal self. Who am I? Who, if I was ideally me, who, you know, not externally,
actually
each moment try and be our ideal self.
Actually, I heard Murray Dobbin speak years ago, and I think he came up with one of the greatest solutions that, you know, would solve a lot of the problems we have in this society, and that's stop advertising. You know,
that'd be awesome.
You know, stop all
that'd
this
be so great. I can't advertise. I can't just put up signs wherever I want that say, you know, whatever I want them to say. I can't add, well, that's why you should volunteer for Co-op Radio, because you can advertise your thoughts on there.
Well, and help the community at the same time.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, that's a lot of it. Like I said, I mean, most of the idea behind advertising is making people feel bad about their lives, so they'll go out and buy this stuff, you know. And it may, you know, because that's supposed to make you feel good. And then, you know, eventually, well, that doesn't make you feel good anymore, so you toss it out in the alley, and, you know, hopefully somebody's there with a shopping cart to just, you know, carry it off to a better place.
Right. Well, and I don't know. I wanted to say thank you to everybody out there that's actually doing really good things and making changes. And to everybody out there, everybody. My love to the whole planet. But, you know, and people that are struggling, keep having hope and trying to get to a better place, even though there's struggle. Just love yourself through it. Have compassion for yourself first and foremost, and then we'll try to stop doing things that hurt ourselves too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And stop looking for the answers in products and stuff, and just more work within. No, and then the change comes.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go find the next show, David. Do you want to talk for a minute, or should I put a song on?
Put a song on, Kelly.
Can you talk for a minute?
For a minute. So like I said, next time you see somebody pushing a shopping cart in your neighborhood, go up to them and thank them. Shake their hand. And who knows, maybe by you doing that simple act of human kindness to them, they might start feeling better about themselves, and you might help somebody, you know, get on to a better life. And also it helps you get on to a better life too, because I think that one of the things that really works for me is... when you're doing something for somebody else, I mean, it just makes you feel so great. I mean, there's nothing you can buy in any department store anywhere that will give you that feeling of, you know, a simple act of human kindness for another person. And who knows, maybe it'll come back to you.
Okay, now I'm going to play a Joey Only song. I'm with Quinnell Country Conspiracy, I think. It's a combo song. I'm not exactly sure what it is, because I'm just going to hit play. And I think that's it. Take care. See
you later. CFRO 102.7 Co-op Radio.
Yes.
everybody. I'm Roger Alford, and this is the 411 Seniors Radio Show, which comes to you every week at this time on CFRO-FM 102.7 on your FM dial. That's Co-op Radio. Stick with us. We have a very special and interesting interview guest today. Her name is Ann Chambers, and she's from the BC Health Coalition. And we're going to talk about home support, of interest to everybody.
Worker and a member of the BC Health Coalition. Good afternoon, Anne.
Good afternoon, Carol.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Now, why are we here?
We are here because the BC Health Coalition have embarked on a home support campaign. We have been lobbying MLAs. Regarding the cuts to home support, asking them to look at the Danish model of home care, community care, because we think that they could take some initiatives from the Danish model and apply here in British Columbia.
Well, obviously, what's the Danish model?
The Danish model is that there is lots of community services out there anyone over the age of 75 in Denmark, they are assessed every year whether they have a medical problem or not. So anybody over 75 gets assessed to see if the needs have changed.
So they're assessed and then they get the assistance that's required?
That's right.
And so